anymore.
Please put your name on that, drop it in the offering plate, that way we know you're here.
and know who's here, and your address or anything that's changed, be sure and indicate that as well. So drop that in the offering plate as it comes by this morning. We do have the staff love offering envelope in your bulletins for 3 weeks now, so you'll have an opportunity to show your gratitude for the staff here at Lakeside. There's a little house. We've got a new house for the second year back there with a slot on top. You can drop your envelopes in there if you would like to give something for the staff at the Christmas love offering this year. So feel free to do that as well. Today is our United Methodist Women and Men's Potluck Luncheon. If you brought a potluck or not, I'm sure there'll be plenty of food over there after church today. And join us in the fellowship hall for our Advent season potluck that we have every year. Be sure and come and spend time with us in fellowship as well. Our Advent study has begun last week. I gave out 20 books, and I need more books. They should be here Tuesday, but if you haven't received your book or would like to join us, I should have some more books by Wednesday, so come out and looking at Advent through the eyes of Joseph and why God picked someone like Joseph that exemplifies a father and all the characteristics that God has as well. Next week, we'll have a compassion table. Nancy and I sponsor a little girl from Columbia. And last year we did it in the Sunday school, the Seekers class, sponsored a little boy. And I'm going to have more information next Sunday as well. I'll have a table set up if you're interested in possibly sponsoring a child through Compassion International. It's a great organization. And our little girl, I believe, is soon to be 18 years old and graduating from the program. So we've sponsored her, I think, for 10 or 12 years now. So it's been a real blessing for us to watch her grow up as well. So I'll have information on that next week if you're interested as well. Our baby bottle boomerang, remember that for first care? We got our tally this week. How much change do you think this church was able to put together? $969.75. That's awesome. Thank you all very much for being a part of that. And they were so grateful for our participation in that this year. So thank you all so much for being a part of First Care's Baby Bottle Boomerang. So that's awesome. I think that covers the announcements. There's a lot of information in your bulletins this morning and events coming up in the life of your church. Not my church, your church. So find a place that you can plug in and be a part of the fellowship here at Lakeside. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning. Thank you.
hear you. Open our eyes to see you. Speak to our hearts and shine in our lives, that your presence may shimmer in our lives, and that your love may shine through us, now and forevermore. Amen.
You, Catriona, you may be seated.
The prophet Isaiah lived in a time when his people worried about their future, their families, and their relationship with God. In the midst of uncertainty and fear, Isaiah proclaimed hope, peace, love, and light. The four candles on the Advent wreath represent hope, love, joy, and peace. The fifth candle, placed in the center of the wreath, represents the light of Christ come into the world. We light a candle each Sunday during Advent until all five candles are lit on Christmas Eve. Whether we share these memories with family or friends or ponder them alone, let this be a time to prepare for Christ's coming.
Sunday of Advent candle, a candle of hope for God's presence. O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our Potter. We are all the work of your hand. The reading is from Isaiah 64, verses 1 to 9. If only you would tear open the heavens and come down, mountains would quake before you, like fire igniting brushwood or making water boil. If you would make your name known to your enemies, the nations would tremble in your presence. When you accomplished the wonder beyond all our expectations, when you came down, mountains quaked before you. From ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God but you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You look after those who gladden you right. They will praise you for your ways. But you were angry when we sinned. You hid yourself when we did wrong. We have all become like the unclean. All our righteous deeds are like filthy rag. All of us withered like the leaf, our sins like the wind carries away. No one calls on your name, no one bothers to hold on to you, for you have hidden yourself from us and have handed us over to our sin. But now, Lord, you are our Father, we are our clay, you are our Potter, all of us the work of your hand. Don't rage so fiercely, Lord, don't hold our sins against us forever. But gaze now on your people, all of us.
With great excitement, Isaiah, speaking on behalf of his people, anticipates the coming of the Lord. Along with anticipation comes a renewed awareness of sin, that which separates the people from God. In an attitude of confession, Isaiah calls upon the people to remember who they are, the created, and who God is, the creator. Confessing prepares us for Christ's coming and opens us up to a holy Advent. What keeps you from fully celebrating Christ's birth? What are your words of confession today? Let us pray. Holy God, you prove your love for us time and time again. We are the work of your hand. Continue to shape us into your image. Together we look for the coming of Christ, our hope. Amen.
Thank you. Lord God, who is like you? You are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. If you would please stand for our praise songs.
through that door or through the ceiling, if he can do that, you know, that would freak us all out if Jesus drops down from the ceiling and sits with the choir. We need some help from Jesus back here. So we never know when Jesus is going to show up. This whole Advent thing, you know, this Advent thing, and we celebrate. And isn't it sad that television tells us that Christmas is just about buying some gifts for people, isn't it? That's not really true, is it? The gifts are just a sidelight to what's really important, which means someday we've got to be prepared. We've got to be prepared right now, not someday, for Jesus to come back, right? So if we're ready for Jesus to come back, it's not on just December 25th, is it? So this whole Advent thing and this whole thing we're going to be going through for the next few weeks, we'll light an additional candle each week, and we're remembering the blessings that Jesus has given us. And we've got to be ready right now, because he might come today. And you know what? We don't want Jesus to show up and see things we don't want him to see, do we? So that's sort of a bummer. We've got to clean up all of our messes and have them all cleaned up all the time, ready for Jesus, right? So that's what we've got to remember. We're not going to be perfect. Who here's perfect? I almost put my hand up. I'm far from perfect. I'm very imperfect. But you know what? I do the best every day to be ready for Jesus to come. That's what we got to do. Right? Everybody out here ready for Jesus to come?
Yes.
I think he'll be here December 24th at 7 p.m. or something. Be sure to show up and see Jesus. Amen? And bring all your family and friends, because Jesus is going to show up on December 24th at 7 p.m. So let's be ready, okay? You agree with me that we're going to try to be ready? All right, let's pray. Gracious God, what an awesome, great group of young people we have here this morning. And they are getting themselves ready, Lord, for when you come back. And we do want to be ready and be willing to say, Lord, here I am, my message and all, and you love me, and you accept me, and bring me into your own. We pray in Jesus' holy name, and we all say, Amen. All right, some of you all from Sunday school, thank you guys. Part about being ready seems like something we can always put off until tomorrow. That's not good, is it? We have that as a mindset a lot of the time. Oh, I'll have time to take care of that tomorrow. Back with our work, they used to say, why do today what you could put off until tomorrow? As a joke, of course, right? But that's the way we are. Sidebar. It's a time in our service when we get to go before the Lord in prayer. We do have many, 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 many things to celebrate in the life of this church and miraculous healing that we've seen and for life change. And we're just blessed for everyone that's here today and those that we love and care about, that they're receiving God's mercy as well. So I have some folks this morning I'd like to lift up to you as well. Al Jordan, it's good to see you, Albert. Albert's going to continue with surgery and chemotherapy treatment, so we continue to lift him up. Livia Wilson as well. She'll be having cranial surgery on December 11th, so JoJo, we continue to pray for Livia as well. We continue to pray for Ruthie Rossum. Good to see you, Ruthie, today. Ruthie's had some surgery and recovering from as well, so I'm glad to see you in church today. And Donna, sitting next to her, we're proclaiming another miracle in our midst. And you're going to have quite a testimony, and someday I'd like for you to be able to come up here and tell us a little bit about your journey. So just be thinking about that. You never know when I'll spring that on you, so be prepared. I won't do it on. Hey, come on up and share, kind of a thing. Just be preparing your thoughts for a way you can share God's miraculous healing in your life. And, you know, we see examples in the Bible where Jesus touched someone and they were healed immediately. But you know what? In God's time, God touches you and you may not jump directly to your feet, But over time, you see God working in your life. And Donna, you're just another example of that as well. So, you know, we see God's miraculous healing. We get opportunity to see it in many different ways, but you certainly are one of those as well. We continue to pray for Robin. It's good to see Robin back with us today, and Barbara, and their journey to New York, and they're back now. And Anna's doing well, I think, right? Everything's going good. She's going to be a dynamo after that liver fully kicks in with Anna. Did you tell her she's going to have to be prepared for what's going to happen now that she has a part of you? I don't know if she's going to really be prepared for this. We still celebrate Anna and Rob and their healing as well. We've had a chance to look at these cards yet, so I'm going to go through them on the fly here. Phyllis Graham, Alzheimer's, that's a Mary Hannah lifting them up. Nancy Marka is a friend of theirs as well. She's in the hospital, or home from hospital. Is she home altogether? Okay, good. So Nancy's home. Lois Mahoney has moved to Texas to be with family. She sends her love to all. Keep Lois Mahoney in your prayers as well. Carol Vogel has had a stroke, her second stroke. She's in Bethesda Hospital, so let's continue, or let's pray for Carol as well. Pray for Jackie, for faith and strength, and she needs healing for her vocal cords. So Jackie. Eric Maldonado, a co-worker of Garfield, who has cancer, and praying for just good judgment on how to proceed with treatment. So Eric Maldonado. Uncle Scott, or is it lifting up? That's Cody's uncle. Cody's camping this weekend, so we have Cody in our prayers as well. He does have stage 4 cancer. Scott, we're speaking of here, has been given a diagnosis 6 months to live, so that's tough. So let's continue to pray for Scott. We've been lifting him up for a while now. Karen Snyder has praises for God for healing, and we can do church safety today. That's awesome, Karen. Yes, it's good to see you. Oh, had a near miss of a car accident. I need to read the rest of this, so we are very grateful that you're here today and safe. So careful out there. Homeless people. People living on the streets. Animals that are abused and tortured as well as the example of that. Catriona's lifting up her grandmother. Sally's cancer has continued to get smaller, shrink, so that's a good thing for Sally. Sally Chanel. Lori and Tom Swagger and Lori Kimmy. Up today. Active duty children, grandchildren serving in the military, 3 in the Army, 2 in the Marines, 1 in the Navy. This is Jack and Gwen Butts. We lift them up this morning as well. Linda Friend lifting up Sally Chanel and Kathy Marino. Further operation. You can see our list is quite long, and we anticipate healing in all of these situations. Let's go before the Lord in prayer this morning. Gracious and loving God, our hearts can be heavy today with this list of names, people needing healing. As we celebrate in our midst your healing presence in lives of people who seek you, we give thanks and praise. And Father, in the lives of those names lifted this morning and those in our hearts that have gone unspoken, we pray that we will proclaim the same miraculous healing when we recognize you at work in each one of these lives. So, Father, today as we stand here before you, we bring our loved ones, our cherished friends and neighbors, and folks from the street and beyond that we do not even know today. We pray, Lord, that you would be active mightily in their lives. Father, we live in a world full of turmoil and distrust and evil. But today, Lord, we light the candle of hope because hope is eternal. Father, as we read and heard from our scripture, from the prophet Isaiah, The people of that day were praying for the same miracles we're praying for today. You've answered those miracles on many levels and at different times. And today, much of our prayers are the same as the people of that day. So, Father, once again, we pray for your divine intervention on our behalf. We're calling you down from the heavens above. That as you stand among us and we feel the Holy Spirit presence, we know that you are at work in each one of us that said yes. So, Father, today as we gather around this communion table, I pray that healing would take place. Father, we rejoice when it's a healing in a moment, in an instant, upon a divine touch and healing takes place. We celebrate that, Lord. But we also celebrate just as fervently the miraculous healing that takes place over time. Where wills are changed, where hearts are changed, where spirits are led down the right path. Father, all your miracles of healing are valid to us today. Let us recognize them when we see them and give you credit. So, Father, today we're blessed to be in this place. We lift up these names today, but also many, many more that have gone unspoken. Father, today we hope and we trust and we give our loved ones over to you. So, Father, be with us today in our worship. Let us feel the Holy Spirit presence in this place, and let us be changed anew. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for all we have, and all that you do in our lives. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. we love you, we give back freely all that you blessed us with. We seek your blessing now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture this morning for the message is Isaiah 64, 1-9. Thank you, Larry, for beautifully giving us our scripture today. I won't follow it here. We'll touch on it a few times during the message. This beautiful words from Isaiah this morning of a people somewhat in the same mess we're in today. You know, we pray and we think it's never been this bad before. If you read Isaiah, the people were going through the same messes a lot of the times we have today. So this is not a new phenomenon, what's going on today. And there's hope. There's hope. There's hope. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this scripture this morning from Isaiah, your prophet, speaking to us from a time of turmoil in their lives as well. Father, I ask a blessing upon these words today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Is it safe to say that we've seen some changes in the Christian community in the last few years? During our prayer time this morning, we were touching on some of those changes. Things aren't the same as they used to be, are they? How many miss the good old days? Well, that's not many of you, and I'm sort of glad of that. My dad used to say the words of Irvin Branson, the prophet, look for a book in the Bible to be added, the book of Irvin. Yeah, you like Irvin. Your dad was an Irvin as well. Irvin was a wise man. But I really didn't realize it until just recently. Isn't that amazing that after someone's gone, you realize they spoke some wise words? And one of those phrases that he threw out there once in a while was the good old days. He said, I hated the good old days. I've never had it as good as I've had it today. Why would I want to go back to those days? This is the best time, and no matter what time of his life it was, at what stage, he used to joke and said his family was so poor that the neighbors had to have it. Think about it. Over Thanksgiving evening, my Aunt Jerry's not here, but we had a conversation because I cooked this big meal. And we sat down and we ate well. And after dinner, I started questioning my mom and Jerry, what kind of food did you eat when you were a kid? Remember, they were poor. You saved every dripping of bacon grease or fat, and you put something in it, you had a sandwich. Ketchup. Cornbread and milk. Anybody have milk and cornbread for a meal? The good old days, my dad said. Don't want to go back there. My mom had a period of time she wanted antiques. My dad said, I grew up with that old junk. I don't want it anymore. But we have some nice antiques. They have some nice antiques in their house. My mother must have won out. But my dad knew that this was the best time of his life, no matter what stage it was that day. It's better than he was off yesterday. That's a blessing, I see that as. Do you?
Yes.
We can't always say that. And they had ups and downs, don't get me wrong. But they survived, and they saw the blessings in the day. Wise man, that Irvin Branson. But in this time of Advent, we're looking back on the past, the birth of a baby. That's why I told the children today, Christmas is nice, and we celebrate a newborn. You know, we have the imagery here. You know, Jesus in the manger here. I don't think it was that type of manger. It was a rock probably hollowed out, and he was laying in that. When Jesus comes back again, I don't know, he may come back as a baby again. I may be speaking totally out of terms. But Isaiah the prophet didn't say it was going to be that way again. He said initially it would come as a baby. But when he comes back, he's going to come back with some more. I don't know what he's going to come back with. What do you think he's going to see when he comes back? Have we done a pretty good job with what they've left us? Are we ready today for Jesus to come through that door and pat us on the back and say, well done, good and faithful servants? I'd like to think so. I know he loves us and he's coming back someday. We got to think about what was going on in the life of the people when Isaiah wrote these words. Advent comes from the word Adventus. To prepare for. When you get this, to move towards. We're not moving towards Christmas Eve at 7 o'clock on December 24th. Be here. We're celebrating the birth of a baby, but we're celebrating and preparing ourselves for the return of Jesus. In whatever form that may be. Isaiah 64 is a prayer of God's people struggling to make sense of the world they're in. Anybody here got today's world figured out and know where everything is headed? Please run for president.
Run away from the president.
The office of president. I don't know. Good question. But the book of Isaiah is about the people struggling with trying to figure out what's going on today. Does anyone turn on their news in the morning and watch the Today Show or CBS This Morning or any of those, CNN, whatever it is, Fox News, whatever it is, just to see what's happened last night around the world? You know what I think makes the good old days more romantic and probably better than they were? We didn't have communication. We didn't know what was going on in the world. I can't get to my phone right now, but I can tell you one thing. This little phone right here can tell me anything I need to know on any point on the planet. Instantaneously. Is that much information good for us? I'm beginning to question that. We know what's going on at every point in the world, on the globe. The Sunnis and Shiites were killing one another, and there was terrorism in the Middle East. Ebola breaks out in Africa. I brought a message about that and the work going on there, Samaritan's Purse. And we know about it instantly. I love the phrase, ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is bliss. If we don't know what's going to hurt us, we can't worry about it, can we? Because you know what? ISIS is probably not going to show up here in their Toyota trucks with a machine gun mounted in the bed of the truck and run up and down our streets shooting people. That's probably not going to happen. That people that have become radicalized in our own culture, born in this country, and watch things on YouTube and the internet, think that it's okay to kill people in a mall at Christmas time. Be careful. They had a big explosion in Germany last year. They found explosive in the same type of mall just this weekend. So the trouble is out there. We can say ISIS is among us. ISIS is among us, all right. But they're in people who have been idealized through technology. If we didn't have access to that technology, do you think these people would come up with this stuff on their own? Maybe, but probably not. No matter where we go, no matter where we roam, we've got to look to God as our guide and protector. Amen? Amen. You know what? I try to make sense of a lot of things. I used to be more sensible, I want to say. I used to want to know how things worked and why things were the way they were. I'm an observer of people, I like to say. Whether good or bad, I like to watch you and come to my own conclusion about you. I used to come to judgment rather quickly. God has taught me don't judge so quickly. Give them some time to prove themselves. And that's how I live today. I don't like to think of myself as racist or prejudiced against anyone or anything. I live my life that way, and I tell myself that. But I gotta be honest with you, sometimes something pops up and I say, where did that come from? Where did that come from? And in every case, I'm ashamed of myself for even allowing a part of anything like that to live within me. So if Jesus shows up here today in this season of Advent, and I've got that evil thought in my heart, or I've just got some ugliness about me that I don't like even, I need to take care of that before Jesus comes. And I work on it every day. I love people. I don't like to hurt people. I want you to be my friend. Now here's where we struggle. Some of you don't want to be my friend. People out there don't want to be my friend. And that hurts. The old me would have said, good, I don't want to be your friend either. But the new me says, let's see if we can be friends. That doesn't mean I'm going to accept and agree everything that goes on outside of my own little sphere of influence. It means that I'm trying to prepare myself so when Jesus comes again, he doesn't find within me the darkness and the evil that I'm trying to improve. I'm trying to get better. I hope all of us are trying to get better. That's what Advent is about, is preparing ourselves for the coming of a baby, but also of a Savior. He saved our worthless hide once, hasn't he? He's going to save our worthless hide again and again and again and again. That's why we light that candle of hope today. Because we hope and we know. We have to use hope in the way it's meant here. Hope is, I hope that happens. I hope I win the lottery. Chances of me winning the lottery are pretty much zero, because I don't play the lottery. But if any of you play the lottery, hit the lottery, you know where I'm at. And we can be friends. I'm a good friend. I can be a great friend if you hit the lottery. There's this boat I want you to know, and I'll take you out anytime you want to go. That's the things I want to hide from Jesus when he shows up. No, Jesus, that wasn't me. That's a joke. Folks, we've got a chance once again to get ready. This season of Advent tells us to get ready. We're moving towards the Savior coming back again. I can't wait, can you? For whatever that means for us, I can't wait. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you so much for these words of Isaiah. His people were struggling with the same things we struggle with today. So some things never change. But Father, today we come as a people of hope. Hope in knowing that our Savior will return and set us free. We pray in the holy and precious name of him. Amen. We're going to need to go into a time of Holy Communion this morning. I've been asked to clarify something this morning before we even get started, but I guess this is something that members of the church have had conversations in the Sunday school class and things. Why do folks leave money up here at the altar? Is that a down payment to heaven? Sorry about your luck. So far, none of you have left enough money. I don't know when it started. We talked about it this morning. When did Lakeside start leaving Donaldville or whatever it is you choose to leave here? I don't know. No one here seems to know. But you're not buying a better seat in heaven. When you do that, what you're doing is saying thank you. And you're returning a portion of your blessing back to God. I will tell you that the money left at the altar goes to the pastor's fund, right, treasurer? So it goes into the pastor's fund. That's where that money goes. Now the pastor's fund is not just for the pastor. It's not for the pastor. It's for how this church reaches out to people and helps people. So I want that to be clear today, that there's no obligation to leave money at the altar. God does not need your money. God has everything. He does not need our money. But if that's how you show respect to God, feel free to do that. And the people that are helped by the pastor's fund, thank you. So I just want to make that clear this morning as we go into our invitation for Holy Communion. Because this is the real reason we come to the altar rail. Are these elements. And these elements represent Jesus Christ to us. And the simplicity of these gifts and these elements are just as Jesus had planned. So this is a way that Jesus totally gives himself to us. Hear this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Please join me. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to believe in your church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against our love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard your cry of unity. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from joyful duties. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Prepare the way of the Lord. The day of Christ's coming draws near. The Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Pray through us now that we may praise you, Holy Triune God, with angels and archangels, with beings in heaven and all creatures on earth, with all who have ever sung this hymn of praise. Holy, 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 Lord of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, Jesus Christ, Word made flesh, making all things new.
Blessed are you, Jesus Christ.
Blessed are you, Holy Spirit, dissolving every chain of sin that binds us, rebuking every power that enslaves us, purifying our hearts, challenging our action, not moved by love, and setting all creation free.
Blessed are you, Holy Spirit.
Blessed are you, El Shaddai. We know the end that lies before us and all things. The elemental powers of this universe shall be burned away, the heavens vaporized, and earth and all our doings exposed for all to see. We know the end and we tremble. Is that not in the correct order, Amy? We know the end that lies before us and all things. I've already read that part. Is that next? I'm sorry. We also know your promise. Out of conflagration to recreate, out of chaos to reorder, out of such destruction to renew. We know your promise and we rejoice. We rejoice for you are with us, coming to us in flesh long ago. Coming into our flesh and bread and cup at this Christ table. Coming into this world through your church and the power of the Spirit and coming again to complete what you have begun. And now, feed us to continue. Feed us, Lord God. Feed us as Jesus fed his disciples on the night he was betrayed. He took bread and he broke it and he blessed it, giving thanks to his Father in heaven. He blessed it to his Father in heaven, said, "Take and drink, for this is my body, poured out for you, for the forgiveness of sins for you and for me. Take and drink." And so nourish us in holy living, today and all our days. that on that day when all things are recreated, and on these days as we wait for the fullness to come, the world may see and know in us the love that moves the universe to its true end in the beginning through Jesus Christ our Lord. By Him, with Him, and in Him, united in the power of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, seated upon the throne, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let's pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever.
With those helping with Holy Communion today, please come forward. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for this gift of life, the gift of Jesus Christ Himself poured out for the forgiveness of sins for each one of us. Father, bless this Advent season as we prepare now to receive you. We pray in the holy and precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand for our closing hymn, Jesus, Thine All Victorious Love. Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.